This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In a lot of the lectures that I've been conducting across the country, we have had different kinds of people from different walks of life attending these programs. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we had some of the biggest trappers, biggest drug dealers coming to the masjid to attend the lectures. We've had sisters who go clubbing, who don't even wear hijab, but they've been coming to the programs. You, as someone who regularly comes to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, may see an individual who might not necessarily fit the bill or fit that which you are accustomed to seeing when you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it would absolutely be horrendous for you now to start staring down at them and start giving them dirty looks or making them feel as if they don't have a right to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you hear this, oh, they only come to the masjid in Ramadan. Right? Why did you come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla? You came in order to increase in reward. You came in order to better yourself, to increase your knowledge. That's why they came as well. Right? So people come, my brothers and my sisters, they are different stages of their journey. Don't be the reason why you push someone away just because they don't fit what you are accustomed to seeing when you regularly come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi al-azim, I had sisters who are in haram relationship. After a lecture, they were messaging saying, Zakallah khair, I'm going to try and make change. I came to the program. Right? These programs are not just for religious people, should I say. Or the old man that you see sitting at the front of the masjid, who comes in for every prayer. Lectures and taraweeh or the month of Ramadan are not just for these kind of people. Right? They are for everyone. The Quran is a guidance. What, just for someone who's already practicing? La. Right? As Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idhatun min rabbikum. Maw'idhatun min rabbikum. Ya ayyuhan nas. Who's being spoken to here? The people. Allah didn't just say, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. There's a huge lesson in this. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, what does it mean? Oh, you who believe, right? Here Allah is saying, oh people, to everyone, no matter what background you have, what kind of individual you are, or what kind of life that you're living, even the non-Muslims, the Quran is speaking directly to them. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Indeed, a huge reminder has come to you from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which is a shifa, a cure for the hearts. Everyone has a heart, right? Are there people who are here that don't have hearts? We all have hearts. And at times, we feel spiritually empty in our hearts, right? We are in need of that which is going to bring this heart to life. And the Quran is there to do that, my brothers and my sisters. Hence why I have chosen to deliver lectures where I will take out passages from the Quran and start extrapolating benefits from these passages in the Quran so that we are able to implement it on our day-to-day, right, dealings, day-to-day lives. Right? This is very, very crucial, my brothers and my sisters, to have this relationship with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Honestly, I became tired of giving lectures. There's only so many topics that you could cover throughout the year. But with the Quran, taking passages out, wallahi, I don't think we will have enough time in our life to go through the whole Quran. Right? Every ayah, every verse in the Quran, you can what? Maybe structure a whole lecture around it. This is how vast in meaning the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal is. Also my reason for picking out passages from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal when delivering these lectures. Look what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. Is there anyone here, let me ask this question, is there anyone here that doesn't want satisfaction, happiness in his life? Put your hand up if you don't want happiness in your life. There's nobody here. Right? We are searching for happiness. We are soul searching for contentment and fulfillment. Right? I know, and you know, my brothers and my sisters, that we are spiritually dead, empty at times, because of the kind of lifestyles that we live. The Quran has answers for whatever you are looking for. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says, ما رأيت شيئا يغذي العقل والروح ويحفظ الجسم ويضمن السعادة أكثر من إدامة النظر في كتاب الله. Look what he says. I haven't seen anything that feeds the mind, nourishes the soul, and preserves your body, and guarantees you happiness more than constantly looking in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says, I've not seen anything like that. You're looking for happiness. You're looking for that which is going to give you that spiritual contentment. That which is going to feed your mind. Right? Look no further than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has the answers that we are crying out for, my brothers and my sisters. We just need to take time out to search and to look. Right? The month of Ramadan was the month of, can anyone tell me? It was the month of Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It would be in the month of Ramadan where we start reading the Quran so much more, right? My brothers and my sisters, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants us to read the Quran or to reflect and ponder upon His book in the month of Ramadan and then khalas? We close the Quran, we put it back on the shelves, and then it picks up dust throughout the remaining 11 months, and then we pick it up again in the month of Ramadan. As we've mentioned time and time again, the month of Ramadan is an institution, right? It's a training camp. It's an opportunity for us to start introducing new habits into our lives, to get rid of bad ones, right? So that we continue it after the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ We become pious individuals who safeguard the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We get into a habit to do what Allah told us to do, or what He wants us to do. And to stay away from the things that He told us to stay away from. So we continue this relationship that we had with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal for the remaining 11 months of the year. So as our brother announced, today bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in continuation with the theme that I've chosen throughout these days where I'm going around delivering different programs. Alhamdulillah, yesterday in the Friday khutbah, in Coventry, we went through five benefits from the life of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah ta'ala, it should be made available on the YouTube channel very, very soon. Right? And then we went through some benefits pertaining to Surah Al-Buruj. Right? In one of the other lectures, we also went through benefits from the man who killed 99. Then also, walillahi alhamdu wal minna, in the lecture after Maghrib, we went through 15 benefits that you could extrapolate from the garden that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed, that is mentioned to us in Surah Al-Qalam. We didn't actually get a chance to go through all 15 benefits. Went through a couple, right? These verses, my brothers and my sisters, that we want to go through are from Surah Al-Kahf, the chapter of the cave. But there are so many stories, right? We've chosen this part, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that we want to go through today because our brothers wanted us to speak about that which is going to encourage us to start taking knowledge a lot more seriously. And in this passage, this interaction between Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam and also Musa alayhi salatu wasalam are huge benefits that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala will change our perspectives on a lot of that which we see, right, unfolding before our eyes. Right? In it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, are gems and pearls that I hope to bi'idhnillahi ta'ala share with every single one of you. These verses, my brothers and my sisters, are also mentioned in a hadith that was narrated by Ubay ibn Ka'b. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the interactions they had in a lot more detail than that which is mentioned to us in the Quran. The Quran and likewise the ahadith, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, they go hand in hand with one another. We are not Quranists or Quraniyun, which means those who only believe in the Quran and then reject the hadith. You can't expect to understand the Quran without the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They go hand in hand with one another. You can't separate the two from one another. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Indeed, we set down the Quran upon you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that you can elaborate on that which has been sent down upon you. So that you can elaborate on this Quran, which is a guidance for the people. Right? So there is an usul, there are principles when it comes to explaining the Quran. You have tafsir al-Qur'an bil Quran, explaining the Quran by way of the Quran, right? Some parts of the Quran, they explain other parts of the Quran. You can't know the full story with what happened with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from the time he was born all the way to when he went to Pharaoh, Fir'aun, except by taking, right, the different passages across the Quran and then taking a holistic meaning of what exactly happened. And then you have also what? Tafsir al-Quran bil Sunnah or bil Hadith. To explain the Quran with the Hadith. And this is an example of that. Right? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was most knowing of Allah Azza wa Jal's speech, at times he comments on what Allah Azza wa Jal intended with his speech. So in Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi chapters this Hadith. Bab, ma yustahabbu lil'alim idha su'il. أَيُّ النَّاسِ يَعْلَمْ. That which is required of a scholar when he is asked about who the most knowledgeable person is, right? فَيَكِلُ الْعِلْمَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He credits that knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the chapter heading that Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi chose for this hadith now that he's mentioning in the chapter of knowledge. Right? Why is he choosing this chapter heading? Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, as we will come to know in a moment, inshaAllah ta'ala. As he was giving a khutbah, Ubay ibn Ka'b says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, قَامَ مُوسَى النَّبِيُّ خَطِيبًا فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. One time he stood up and he began to deliver a sermon to Bani Israel, right? The children of Israel. And as he was delivering this lecture or this sermon, he was asked, فَسُئِلَ أَيُّ النَّاسِ يَعْلَمْ. Who is the most knowledgeable on the face of this earth? What was his response? فَقَالْ أَنَا أَعْلَمْ. I'm the most knowledgeable. فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and disciplined him for giving this kind of response. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he's the prophet of Allah. He is the most knowledgeable, right? However, because he didn't credit it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal decided to discipline him. He admonished him, right? And there's a huge lesson in this. فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his admonishment, instructed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to travel out to one of his other servants. أَنَّ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِي أَوْ فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِي بِمَجْمَعِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. That there is a servant from amongst his servants, meaning Al-Khadir. The scholars, they differed. Was he a prophet? Was he a saint? Was he a waliyun min awliya'illah? Right? Many of the scholars, they take the view that he was actually a prophet. And that is because, as we will inshallah ta'ala come to know later on, when he did whatever he did, because he took Musa with him, right? And there was a time when he ended up killing a young man. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam killed a young man. And as he was doing this, right, he wanted from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam not to object and not to contest any of the decisions and actions that he carries out. So one time he killed a man, not even a man, it was a young child. Ghulam, a young child that he killed. There was a time when, subhanAllah, he got on the ship for free, right? They didn't have to pay to get on the ship, right? What did he do? He decided to put a hole in the ship. And water started coming out of, started coming out of the bottom. SubhanAllah. And then the third time he did something else, as we will come into inshaAllah ta'ala. They went to a village, right? and they asked to be hosted. Nobody decided to host them. And then he saw a wall that was falling apart. He said something that Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam did not like. Eventually he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. Whatever I did was not out of my own accord, meaning it was out of divine revelation that I carried out all of these actions of killing a young child, right? Putting a hole in a ship, right? And the other third thing that he did, it was all out of divine revelation. And because of that, the scholars, they mentioned that he was a prophet due to the revelation that he acted upon, which only comes down on who? On prophets, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, إِذْ لَمْ يَرُدِّ الْعِلْمَ إِلَيْهِ فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ أَنْ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِمَادِي بِمَجْمَعِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. That there is a servant from amongst my servants, right, that I want you to go to. Where is he at? بِمَجْمَعِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, the junction at the two seas. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مِنْكَ, he is more knowledgeable than you, O Musa. قَالَ يَا رَبِّي وَكَيْفَ بِهِ. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam called out and he said, how do I get to him? فَقِيلَ لَهُ إِحْمِلْ حُوتَ. It was said to him, take a big fish with you, place this fish inside of a bucket, and then take it on your journey. فَإِذَا فَخَدْتَهُ فَهُوَ ثَمْ. Once you lose this fish that you are carrying in this bucket, then that will be the place that he's at. So you take it with you, and then when you see this fish now slipping out or jumping out of this bucket, he's there. So فانطلق, he set off on his journey. وانطلق بفتاه يوشع بن نون. He had a servant that he took along with him. The servant's name was يوشع بن نون. وَحَمَلَ حُوتًا فِي مِكْتَرٍ. So he carried this fish inside of this bucket with him. حَتَّى كَانَ عِنْدَ صَخْرَةٍ. Up until they reached this rock. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, upon seeing this rock, thought it was a good idea to lay down on this rock, because they were tired. Right? فَوَضَعَ رُؤُوسَهُمَا وَنَامَا. Right? So they slept on it. فَانْسَلَّ الْحُوتُ مِنَ الْمِكْتَلِ. So after going to sleep, this fish that he was carrying, it slipped out of this bucket, right, and jumped back into the sea. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. وَكَانَ لِمُوسَى وَفَتَاهُ عَجَبًا. فَانْطَلَقَ بَقِيَّةَ لَيْلَتِهِمَا وَيَوْمِهِمَا. فلما أصبح قال موسى لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. So after waking up, he didn't check the bucket. They continued on their journey, right? The night had come to an end, and then in the morning, they continued traveling, right? And then subhanAllah, there was a point where he began to feel hungry. So he said to his servant, right, آتنا غداءنا. Bring us food, right? Bring us lunch. Indeed, we've become extremely fatigued and tired while traveling. The scholars, the Mufassirun, they mentioned that he didn't actually get tired till after this fish that he was carrying had slipped back into the sea. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jal caused that to happen in order for him to realize, right, that the fish had actually slipped out. Because what did Allah Azza wa Jal tell him? Or revealed to him that once this fish slips back into the sea, that's where Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam is. But after that happened, he began to what? Oh, he continued to travel. So the narration states, وَلَمْ يَجِدْ مُوسَى مَسًّا مِنَ النَّصَبِ حَتَّى جَاوَزَ الْمَكَانَ الَّذِي أُمِرَ بِهِ. As we just mentioned, he didn't feel tired till he actually went past where he needed to stop. فقال له فتاه. So his servant said to him, أرأيت إذا وينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت. Right? Do you remember when we took a pit stop, right? We went to sleep. I actually forgot the fish there. فإني نسيت الحوت. قال موسى ذلك ما كنا نبغي. Right? This is exactly what we're seeking. فارتد على آثارهما قصصا. So they went back, retracting their footsteps, all the way back to where they had forgotten that fish they were carrying. So they already traveled, subhanAllah, for a whole night, and in a day, they had to go all the way back. فلما انتهيا إلى الصخرة إذا رجل مسجى أو مسجى بثوب أو قال تسجى بثوبه. Once they arrived at the place where the fish had slipped back into the sea, they saw suddenly a man standing there. And this man that they saw standing there was covered in his garment. Right? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, right, is looking at this man. This man now, my brothers and my sisters, gives him salam. And then he asks Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأَنَّ بِأَرْضِكَ السَّلَامِ. How do you people greet one another in the lands that you are from? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returned the salam back to Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. Straight away he says to him, هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. Is it possible for me to accompany you so that I can learn from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you of guidance? Right. Straight away, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِي صَبْرًا. You won't be able to be patient with what I'm going to be doing and that which you're going to be witnessing from me, right? It's something that you won't be able to be patient with. Ya Musa, inni ala ilmin min ilmi Allahi, allamanihi la ta'lamuhu ant. Then he said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is not mentioned in the Quran, indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has given me knowledge that He has taught me, which you are not aware of, which you don't have. Right? Wa anta ala ilmin allamakahu la a'lamu. And you have knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla taught you, which I don't have. Qala satajiduni insha'Allahu sabiran wa la a'si laka amra. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then says, don't worry, you'll find me patient. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't know what he's getting himself involved in. Right? He has no idea whatsoever, but he's saying, don't worry, I'll be patient with whatever you have up your sleeve. Right? So Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Okay, let's go. فانطلقا يمشيان على ساحل البحر ليس لهما سفينة. So they began to walk on the coast, right, on the seaside. And they didn't have a ship with them. As they were walking, a ship came past and offered to take them on board without a charge, without a fee. They wanted to, you know, just be there for Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a very good reputation in his area. Come on board, Khadir. Nobody knows Musa here. So they decided to board the ship. Right? فَعُرِفَ الْخَضِرِ فحملوهما بغير نول. Right? Took them without a charge, without a fee. فجاء عصفور فوقع على حرف السفينة. As they were on board, right, a عصفور, a bird came and was on the edge of the ship. As this, or as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadir were on board on the ship, they saw, right, this bird. What do you call in English when the bird starts, started pecking the sea, drinking from the sea that it found right in front of, right? فَنَقَرَ نَقْرَةً أَوْ نَقْرَتَيْنِ فِي الْبَحَرِ. So he pecked once or twice. فوقع على حرف السفينة فنقر نقرة أو نقرتين في البحر فقال الخضر يا موسى ما نقص علمي وعلمك من علم الله إلا كنقرة هذا العصفور. الله أكبر. He draws this comparison. You know how this bird is now pecking into the sea. Is this bird now reducing from the water that you find inside of the sea? Is it reducing from it? It affects it in no way whatsoever. Right? In no way whatsoever. It says the same way you see this bird now taking from the sea the knowledge that we possess, that I possess and that you possess, right? It doesn't take anything away from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla's knowledge is so vast. Right? No matter how knowledgeable you think you are, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. As Allah says, above every individual who possesses knowledge, there is someone else that possesses more knowledge. And Allah Azza wa Jalla possesses more knowledge than everyone. Keep your feet on the ground. No matter how long you live, you'll never be able to encompass all of knowledge. So as they were on board, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam took a couple of steps forward and then began to put a hole on the ship. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam becomes surprised at that which he's doing, shocked, right? They decided to take you on board without a charge, and now you're putting a hole inside of the ship. What, in order to drown them? This was his response. عمدت إلى سفينتهم فخرقتها لتغرق أهلها قال ألم أقول إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا أو معي صبرا. Says, didn't I say to you that you won't be able to be patient? Right? Didn't I say that you won't be patient with that which you witnessed me carrying out? And then he said to him, قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتْ. Please don't hold me to account for that which I did out of forgetfulness. فَكَانَتِ الْأُولَى مِنْ مُوسَى نِسْيَانَا. This first incident, right, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it was done out of forgetfulness. So he's excused. فَانْطَلَقَ فَإِذَا غُلَامٌ يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الْغِلْمَانِ فَأَخَذَ الْقَذِرُ بِرَأْسِهِ مِنْ أَعْلَاهُ فَاخْتَلَعَ رَأْسُهُ بِيَدِهِ. So then they got off the ship and they began to walk. They ran into a bunch of children that were playing with one another. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam went to one of these young children, grabbed him, and pulled his head off the body. Killed him. فَقَالَ مُوسَى أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Have you killed an innocent soul who didn't kill anyone, but then you decided to take his life? Right? Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam by this point is losing patience. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Didn't I say to you that you won't be able to be patient in that which you witnessed me carrying out? And then they continued walking. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُهُمَا. They ran into a group of people who were resident in this village that they came across. They requested to be hosted. They are foreigners in this village that they have just arrived at. But they refused. فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُهُمَا. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْقَضْ. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam saw a wall that was on the verge of collapsing. Right? Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam approached this wall and straightened it. He fixed it. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then said, لَوْ شِئْتْ لَتَّخَدْتَ عَلَيْهَا أَجْرًا. لَوْ شِئْتْ لَتَّخَدْتَ عَلَيْهَا أَجْرًا. If you want, you can charge them for it. You know, they refused to host us, right? Go and charge them for this work that you just carried out. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam responded back by saying, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is it. We are now going to what? Go our ways. This is the end of it. This is the end of the journey. Right? He told him already twice. He gave him two chances. The first one was done out of forgetfulness. The second time, forgetfulness wasn't mentioned. He was extremely shocked at what he just witnessed. You just took somebody's life. I think all of us, if we saw someone, right, taking the life of another, would be shocked by it, right? Right? Our instant instinct would be to go and do something about it. Sahih. We are human beings. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مُوسَى لَوَدِدْنَا لَوْ صَبَرْ حَتَّى يَقُصَّ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمَا. May Allah have mercy upon Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Right. I wish that he was patient so that we could hear the rest of the story. Right. And in another narration we are told, لَأَبْصَرَ مِنْ صَحْبِ الْعَجَبِ. He would have seen amazing things from his companion Khadr alayhi salatu wa sallam. But Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was impatient. As this happened, my brothers and my sisters, Khadr alayhi salatu wa sallam began to explain to him why he did whatever he executed or whatever he carried out. We are told, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحَرِ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. As for what he did, right, this is mentioned in the Quran, as for that which he carried out on the ship, putting a hole on somebody's ship that they, right, carried you on for free. Instead of being nice to them, you decided to put a hole inside of their ship. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ. It belonged to a bunch of needy individuals, right, who were poor. يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. And they used to carry out their work on sea. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to fault this ship. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ. In front of them. وَرَاهِ means أَمَام. There was a king. Whenever they would come to the lands or whenever they would come to shore, the king who was oppressive, who was tyrannical, any ship that wasn't faulty, he would seize it from them forcefully. So he wanted to put a fault in it so that when the king, this tyrannical ruler sees this faulty ship, you know, he would just let it pass by. Right? That's why I done that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبُوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَا أَنْ يُلْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. As for the second incident, the second time when Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam did something that shocked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he pulled his head off his body, he killed him. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, the parents of this child that was killed, they were believers. فَخَشِينَا أَنْ يُلْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. And we feared that if or once this child had grown old, that he would be the cause why they end up falling into kufr, into disbelief. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us in another hadith, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامَ الَّذِي قَتَلَهُ خَضِرْ طُبِعَ كَافِرًا وَلَوْ عَاشَ لَأَرْهَقَ أَبَوَيْهِ طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. This child that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw being killed in front of him by Khadir was destined for disbelief. He was destined for the hellfire. Right? This was his destiny. Had he lived on, he would have been the reason why his parents become disbelievers. The scholars of tafsir, they mentioned because they loved him so much. Now he has disbelieved. He has apostated. They may well have followed him into apostasy. That's why I decided to take his life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us this wall that he fixed, that he repaired, that he saw was on the verge of falling apart, right? It belonged to two orphans that were needy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them, right, to unravel right? Or to dig up the treasures that were buried under this wall. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزًا لَهُمَا, right? كَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, and their father was righteous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want anyone to unravel or to take out these treasures while they were still young in age. Allah wanted them to benefit and to take advantage of these treasures after they grow old. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. So this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam to straighten up this wall, right? Because you never know. Now that this wall has damaged or is fallen apart, people will maybe, right, find this treasure that is buried under and then start fighting over it and deprive these young aitam, young orphans. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, take this from me. How many a time do I receive a case as someone who distributes inheritance, right? Young men and women who are taken advantage of, especially back home. Their father, you know, he owned land. He's passed away. You would think to yourself, subhanAllah, his own siblings would maybe be there for their nephews and their nieces. But no, they are the first to pounce and that which their dead brother has left behind. So they're deprived. Right? Very, very common in the subcontinent, in the Arab world as well. No rahmah whatsoever. People are ready to give up their deen for a bit of dunya. Right? Ten benefits, my brothers and my sisters. Just getting started. That was the story that is mentioned in the Quran. Inshallah ta'ala, these 10 benefits, I'm hoping bi'idhnillah al-bari, will change our perspective in how we look at that which is unraveling, that which is happening right before our eyes. Benefit number one, my brothers and my sisters, everything that happens, happens for a reason. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes you to go through of trials, adversities, tribulations, difficulties and hardships, right? There is a reason for it, whether you see it or not. How many a time, my brothers and my sisters, have we been in a situation where we thought that this was the best thing for us? I'll give the example of marriage, Princess Charming, that you so desperately want, right? You tell yourself that there's no one else on the face of this earth, right, that is good for you other than this lady here that you just met. We've all been in that position, right? You're ready to tear down Derby just so you could get her. Everyone is against you, saying, no, don't. But you're like, no chance. She is the best one for me and she is going to bring me happiness. To make things worse, your best friend comes along and he snatches her from under your nose. Does it happen without a shadow of a doubt? Remember, there was even a case one time, subhanAllah. This happened with two sisters, right? The sister really badly wanted his brother. And he asked for a hand in marriage. And everything was going so smoothly. Maybe a month or two before the big day, right? A month or two before the big day, he decided to go for her sister. So what did she do? She went to a magician and she decided to carry out a magic spell or request a magic spell to be done on this brother who initially asked for a hand in marriage. Right. Anyways, how many a time, my brothers and my sisters, we think that this lady or this brother is the best for us? It doesn't work out. You feel hurt and sad and miserable for a set period of time. Years go by, and Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you with a spouse that the mind couldn't imagine. She has these qualities and she has these traits that you never ever thought would be found in a lady. That's when you say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Agreed? Everything happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. I wouldn't be sitting here, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, if my friend didn't get shot. A friend of mine was shot. Right? Back in the day when I was living in London, it was the reason why so many brothers left the road. Some went to Egypt, some went to Yemen, some moved out of London. Right? Everything happens for a reason. It was the time when my parents, they moved me from London to Leicester. Allah knows best. If that didn't happen, either one of three things would have happened. I would either be dead, or in prison, or I would have joined ISIS. A lot of brothers in the area, right, had the fate of one of these three things. Right? I have many friends that are in prison. Some that are dead. Right? One of my own relatives that I used to hang around with went abroad. Nobody knows where he is. So everything happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. Right? And a lot of the time we don't see the good in things. Right? And this evil, and I'm going to put it what? In quotation marks. This is the first lesson that we're taking from this, right? Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam killed that young man. Was he doing it out of his own accord? Or was it due to divine revelation that Allah Azza was sending down upon him? It was what Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed him to carry out. Had he lived on, he would have been the reason why his parents would have followed him into disbelief. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of everything, even before it happens. Why am I mentioning this as the number one point, my brothers and my sisters? We are living in a time and age. And I mentioned this last time round when I came here. We go to these universities that are breeding grounds for kufr, shirk, feminism, liberalism, secularism. Right? And also what? Rainbow team. Right? Throwing around doubts left, right, and center. Every now and again, I'm dealing with university students. And I went and traveled the country. I went to 27 universities, but I didn't go to Derby. Allahu a'lam why. Went to 27 universities. I engaged with students who would come to me with a flurry of doubts. And they don't have answers. Their iman is shaken to the core. Right? They don't have the tools to equip themselves to repel these doubts that are shaking their iman, shaking their faith. Right? A lot of that which we hear is there's a law of evil, right? Or the problem of evil. If there's really a God, why is all of this taking place? Here you have your answer in Surah Al-Kahf. An answer to some of these contemporary doubts that we hear. Everything happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla causes something to happen to prevent some evil coming your way. Right? There was a sheikh in Al-Medina. He was an African sheikh that was forced out of his home in Africa. A war took place. And guess what, brothers and sisters? After being chased out of his home, he ended up becoming a teacher from the teachers of the Haram. He has a chair in the Haram. He is of African origin. Allah Azza wa Jalla honored him, right? To teach the Arabs in one of the most greatest places on the face of this earth. Everything happens for a reason, right? Sometimes you go through divorces, right? Well, I know brothers, they'll tell you that the best thing ever happened to them was them going through a divorce. The best ever thing that happened to them was them going through a divorce. Some of you guys might agree, Allahu A'lam. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla prevented you from having children with this lady. Right? Allahu A'lam. After having children with this lady, and then if divorce was to take place after that, we've got Muslim ladies who wear hijab that are meant to be practicing, but they are taking the ex-husbands to court. Right? She wants him to suffer. SubhanAllah. She wants him to suffer. But Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that you go through divorce right at the beginning. to save you from all of these problems that may potentially have come your way. Right? Can you see why, my brothers and my sisters, knowledge is extremely, extremely important? I'll tell you guys something else that happened in the month of Ramadan. I went to visit one of my best friends in Leicester. As I was sitting there, guys, his mother walked in. First thing his mother said to me was, "Muhammad, I'm angry with Allah." And by the way, I'm sitting in a mansion, huge house. "I'm angry with Allah." I said, "Why, auntie?" I'm in shock. "Why, auntie?" She goes, "I fast, I pray, right? I do all of these acts of worship, and even then, Allah Azza wa Jalla is making me go through problems." Right? I had to calm the auntie down. Imagine, in the month of Ramadan, she's refusing to fast, or she broke her fast because she's angry with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Is this a light statement, my brothers and my sisters? This is borderline Islam. So I started explaining to her, "Auntie, everything happens for a reason. Yes, some of her children are going through some difficulties and hardships in their marriages." I was like, "Auntie, have you forgotten about all of the blessings that you have? Look at this big house that you live in." Right? I don't think I've ever entered into a house here in the UK that is as big as theirs. Every day you have food inside of your house. There's never a day that you wake up, auntie, where your fridge is empty. And if it is empty, you have the finances to go and buy food. Right? Rectifying your aqeedah, it requires knowledge, my brothers and my sisters. All these university students, their aqeedah has been shaken to the core. A lot of the time is because of these atheists that say, "If there's really a God, why is all of this happening?" Everything happens for a reason. And I'll say this again, how many a time have we been in a position where we thought that this was the best thing for us? Years down the line, my brothers and my sisters, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us that which the mind couldn't imagine. And this is when we say, "If that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today." Right? Everything happens for a reason, even if it is war. A lot of you guys here, see, right, come from countries where there was war, sahih? Do you guys agree? And now, Allahumma barik, making a lot of money. You live with peace and security. Sahih. You're able to acquire education that you might not have been able to do or to acquire if you were back home. Sahih. Everything happens for a reason. And it may well be that you send money back home to your siblings, helping them out. Maybe if you were all together, someone to help out wouldn't be there. And they would have been living a very different life. Everything happens for a reason. Sahih. I could go on for days, brothers and sisters. The amount of things that have happened in my life, which was a big reason as to why goodness came to my way. At the time, it didn't make sense to me. Right? Even Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says, "Lawla mihanu dunya wa masaibuha la asab al-abda min adwa al-kibr wal-ujb wal-far'ana wa qaswat al-qalb." If it wasn't for the trials and tribulations of this world, my brothers and my sisters, one would be afflicted with the disease of arrogance, self-amazement. He would even pick up Fir'auni sentiments. You know Pharaoh, the man who claimed "Ana Rabbukum al-A'la," you would pick up traits similar to the ones that he had. Doesn't this happen, my brothers and my sisters, at times with people who have a lot of money, walking on the face of this earth as if he's on cloud nine, right? Untouchable. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla takes everything away from him, humbled, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla at times, my brothers and my sisters, he says, وَمِن رَحْمَةِ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ أَن يَتَفَقَّدَهُ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَحْيَانِ. This is from the rahmah of Allah, that at times he causes you to lose that which you may possess to keep your feet on the ground. To keep your feet on the ground. Wallahi, I don't think any of us want to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. We have a mustard grain of arrogance in our heart. Right? I've seen people from hero to zero, humbled. I sat down with them and I'm thinking to myself, may Allah Azza wa Jalla cure this guy. Because he has a bit of money, the way he speaks, the way he operates, the way he carries himself, up until he was left bankrupt, broken, with absolutely nothing, begging me to put out a GoFundMe link so that I could help him out. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla will humble you. So it happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Don't forget the good times. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ Allah tells us a qa'ida, a principle that we are taught. Right? Don't forget the good times. This verse was mentioned alongside the verses of talaq, of divorce. Don't forget the good times. Sometimes we're very quick, right? When it comes to just wanting to separate, Allah is telling you, don't forget the good times. And the principle here is, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Look at those who have less than you, don't look at those who have more. It will make you a lot more grateful. Some of us are complaining about a one-bedroom council flat. Some people don't even have shelter, brothers and sisters. They barely have anything. Look at those who are less fortunate. Look at all the times when Allah Azza wa Jalla looked after you. Look at Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. 18 years of trials and tribulations that he went through in his health, in his wealth. He was forsaken and abandoned. But prior to that, decades, right? Decades that he lived a life of luxury. He didn't start getting angry at Allah, right? He began to call on to Allah Azza wa Jalla, being grateful for whatever situation he's in. Does that make sense? So this knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, with a lot of these doubts that are being, right, shot at us, especially in university. Wallahi, after the lecture that I gave in some of these university brothers were like, khalas, I'm going to get out of philosophy class. I'm leaving philosophy class. I asked him, do you feel shaken? That professor does not care. He doesn't care whether you're a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian. You're a person of religiosity, he's going to try and strip you off your faith. Right? Well, I think it's scary for one to go to university and he's not equipped. Right? One time, subhanAllah, I was even dealing with a case. A brother messaged me saying that his sister has left the fold of Islam, but the mother doesn't want to do anything about it. Why? She doesn't want to rock the boat, doesn't want to distract her with her studies. She focused now. Ya Shaykha, oh auntie, this woman, if she dies tomorrow, she's dying upon kufr. And you care more about her education? Or maybe an answer that you want to give to your friends. You know, the aunties, they get together. They have tea sessions, huh? And they begin to discuss, what is your daughter doing? What is your sister doing? What? So they take pride, oh, my daughter's doing medicine. And you don't have a clue of what they're doing inside of these schools. But they're messaging us. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to go about the situation. Right? It's a zoo, brothers and sisters. What happens when you go to a zoo and there are no gates? Tiger's gonna pounce on you. I witnessed it as someone who was doing civil engineering in Loughborough University. We had what? Huh? We had orientalists, people who would learn my religion and your religion, not so he can become Muslim. So he could use it against Muslims. Anyone who's vulnerable, shaky with his deen, they would go and target him. And I'm like, I'm here, learning civil engineering while these guys are learning my religion. Right? Number two, my brothers and my sisters. We're nearly done, inshallah. I'm going to run through it now. Very, very quickly. Al-amru bit-ta'anni wa tathabbut. A big lesson that we take away, my brothers and my sisters, from this qissa is that we as human beings are deficient. We haven't encompassed all of knowledge. Sometimes we see someone making a certain judgment call, right? Or he makes a decision that we struggle to comprehend. And we're very, very quick, we're very, very hasty in holding him to account. And I've been seeing this a lot, especially with brothers who have gone abroad. They've now started seeking knowledge. They've picked up a little bit here and there. And they think that everything is black and white. I'm not talking about the core fundamentals of our religion. That's clear. Right? Seeing someone making a particular judgment call, he's doing something a certain way that you are not familiar with. It could be da'wah. Right? It could also be certain business investments that he is carrying out. Just like this qissa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, right? The story. Later on he said to him, this is the ta'wil. ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا. This is now the reasoning, the explanation of what you couldn't be patient on. Just ask why, my brothers and my sisters, especially when you start seeking a little bit of knowledge, you begin to think that you are more knowledgeable than everyone. You picked up something here and there, take it easy. Especially if that individual is more experienced than you. He's more senior than you. Right? Ask them, is there any reason as to why you're doing it like this? Right? Even the scholars, they mention, it's been attributed to some of the righteous of the past, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ خَطَأَ شَيْخِكَ فَجَارِزْ غَيْرَهُ. If you want to know the mistake of your sheikh, go and sit with someone else. He may give you a different perspective on things. Right? He may give you insight in that which, you know, your sheikh would never have ever told you about. Right? Don't enter into discussion. Already your ideas are carved in stone. This is not the trait of a talib ilm. Especially when he's at that stage of seeking knowledge. Be someone who's ready to learn more. Because if you already have ideas that are carved in stone, you'll never be open to improvisation, exploring these ideas that you have. Does that make sense? Wallahi, literally before I came here, I sent this. Whatever I just said right now, I sent it to one of the students of Knowledge Abroad. Sometimes what happens is when you go abroad, you tend to become extremely opinionated. Huh? At what people are doing. Akhi, you're not in the kitchen. The kitchen gets hot at times. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. This is what we say, right? You don't know what is going on. You don't have the full, right, story of that which is taking place. And then you're, oh, Allah, akhi, this guy is becoming watery in how he gives da'wah. Right? Benefit number three, my brothers and my sisters. But before I go on to benefit number three, I want to tell you guys about your parents. No matter how knowledgeable you become, one thing that you will never have over your parents and your seniors is what? Experience. Life experience. As much as we might think that we are, you know, on top of our game, that we are slick, they have life experience that you can't buy with money, brothers and sisters. Right? Even at times when they advise you pertaining to marriage, they may tell you, right, they may tell you, stay away from this guy. And that is because he has certain cultural traits that you might really, really struggle with. Most important thing that we look at when pursuing, right, the opposite gender is what deen, right? That's the most important thing. But because of the kind of background that you come from, you may struggle at that. I'll give you guys an example, right? Recently I was dealing with a marriage problem between husband and wife. Brother comes from humble backgrounds while she comes from a mansion. She's had luxury. And now you want to take her into maybe some council flat. Huh? You're going to struggle, brother. Or into a two-bedroom house. You're going to have to be extremely patient. This is why the scholars, they discuss that a student of knowledge, right, maybe it's a good idea that he doesn't go for a princess. Huh? Now, a student of knowledge, they normally tend to not have much. But you get married to this filthy rich lady, and then every week she's taking you to the mall. Yeah, miskin, you don't have that. Huh? She comes from a wealthy background and you come from very moderate or very humble backgrounds. And then your parent is saying to her, I don't think that's a good idea. But you're just what? Blown away by her beauty and her saying, yes, 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 yes. Huh? When the shahwa has spiraled out of control, huh? One's desires to get married. You're not thinking straight, my friend. You're not thinking from there. You're thinking from somewhere else. Right? And you block out everything that your parents are telling you. You need to calm down a little bit. Does that make sense? I know, of course, there are cases where the parents are unreasonable. They're very old-fashioned. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes some genuine advice that you're being given that you don't see because you're young and you're lacking experience. Right? Again, ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. This is the reasoning for that which you weren't patient for. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam told Musa, if only he was patient, he would find out things that, right, the mind can't imagine. Number three, my brothers and my sisters, أن القتل من أكبر الذنوب لقوله في قتل الغلام لقد جئت شيئا نكرا. Taking an innocent life, my brothers and my sisters, is from the most greatest of sins. I'm nearly done, guys, huh? Maybe 5 or 7 more minutes and we should be done. Right? Taking a life, my brothers and my sisters, is from the most dangerous of things. From the most filthiest of acts. Why do we find Muslims squaring up to other Muslims with weapons that they're carrying? Because we haven't understood how serious this actually is. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about people who carry weapons, which they then take out, right? Where they may be, to take that individual's life or to just scare him. That's what we hear, right? I just use it to scare the other individual. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. If two Muslims, they square up to one another, both the killer and the one killed are in hellfire. Right? The companions, they ask, they understand the killer, what about the one who was killed? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He was extremely eager to take the life of his brother, right? Isn't this what he wanted to do? Except that the killer managed to get the final blow that took his life. He wanted to do the exact same thing. Right? We know the Kaaba, right? The Kaaba, my brothers and my sisters, the Kaaba. Recently, that rapper, DJ Khalid, went to the Kaaba. You guys seen the video going around? How did he react upon seeing the Kaaba? Does anyone know? He began to cry. Someone who's involved in sin day and night, my brothers and my sisters, was humbled upon seeing the Kaaba. Right? It brought him to tears. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ حَجَرًا حَجَرًا. Right? Would anyone here try to dismantle the Kaaba? Would anyone here try to strike the Kaaba? Or try to tear it apart? Would anyone try or even think of that? Abadan, right? There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Kaaba is destroyed and then the stones of the Kaaba or the parts of the Kaaba are removed one by one, is lesser of a problem in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla than taking the life of a Muslim. Seeing the Kaaba humbles you, my brothers and my sisters. That which is more sacred in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the sanctity of that Muslim. But it's become extremely cheap, right? It holds no worth, it holds no value. Taking a knife, it's fine, just because it's from another area. I need to show him. Sometimes you just need to jug him up a little bit. Huh? Just a little bit. And then it escalates, it goes out of control. Your whole life goes upside down. Whether you're a killer or the killed, not thinking straight. Number four, my brothers and my sisters, we learn a huge principle. It's a leading legal maxim, right? That which pertains to weighing the pros and the cons. This is a very, very important legal maxim in our religion, right? And likewise, taking the lesser of the two evils, sometimes you find yourself in a predicament. This legal maxim is extremely, extremely, extremely handy. Well, you have to pick one. The Sharia teaches you to take the lesser of the two evils. Weighing the pros and the cons. الدِّينُ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصَالِحِ فِي جَلْبِهَا وَالدَّرْءِ لِلْقَبَائِحِ فَإِنْ تَزَاحَمْ عَدَدُ الْمَصَالِحِ يُقَدَّمُ الْأَعْلَى مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَضِدُّهُ تَزَاحُمُ الْمَفَاسِدِ يُرْتَكَبُ الْأَدْنَى مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ. Right? You're in that predicament. You got two haram. And there's no way out of it. You have to take one of them. The legal maxim states, my brothers and my sisters, you have to take the lesser of the two evils. Right? It comes in handy in so many aspects of life. Does that make sense? If it wasn't for time, then I would have loved to elaborate and give a lot of examples. Isn't this exactly what Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam done? This individual is going to live, and he's going to be the reason why his parents, they follow him into kufr, right? Let me just take his life now. Well, fitna to ashaddu min al-qatl. Fitna, being trialed in your religion, my brothers and my sisters, is more greater than you being taken off the face of this earth, you being killed. You'd rather meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and you are sound in your aqeedah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the dua, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَاخْبُضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. If you want fitna for your servant, the Messenger would say this, then take my soul, and I'm not trialed in my religion. And again, that which is going to protect you, fortify you from all these is knowledge. The Messenger is making this dua. Is that done? Five more minutes, guys, and we're done, huh? I think I said that 5 minutes ago, right? Inshallah ta'ala, these are very, very important benefits. Bidnillah ta'ala. Apologies, I think I went a bit too long with the storytelling at the beginning. Weighing the pros and the cons and taking the lesser of the two evils. It's exactly what Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam done. The brother asked me what was number four. I hope you guys are writing it down. Right? The revelation that was sent down upon him is that if this child lives, he's going to be the reason why his parents become kuffar. Car crash, brothers and sisters. There are four people in the car, three young children and one older person. All of the children pass away. And the only one that comes out alive is the parent. Someone is saying, how could Allah Azza wa Jal allow such thing to happen? They should have been given the chance to live. She's already lived a life. You never know, right? What these children could have caused their parents. You know how many times I've heard a parent saying, I wish I never had you as a child? Or they begin to make dua against their children because of how much trouble, right, they're causing them. Or they can't go to sleep because he doesn't know where his children are. Right? They come home late. They're rebellious. You don't know what Allah Azza wa Jalla is protecting you from. Right? Again, كما قال ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه أن الله عز وجل لا يخلق شرا محضا. There's nothing that Allah creates that is purely evil. There's nothing that Allah creates that is purely evil. This is subjective, is the way you look at it. Anything negative that happens, my brothers and sisters, you can put what? A positive spin to it. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Number five, my brothers and my sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect your offspring through your righteousness. What's the evidence for this? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The third action that Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam carried out, when he straightened up the wall, Allah Azza wa Jal, he told us, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Allah wanted them to grow older so that later on they can what? Huh? Dig out the treasures that was left behind for them. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Here is the catch. Their father was righteous, and because of his righteousness, Allah Azza wa Jal protected his offspring. Allah was there for them. Right? They say that the father of these children, his name was Kasih. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْأَتْخِيَارِ. He was from the righteous individuals. Ibn Abbas, rahimahullahu ta'ala, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, حُفِظَ بِصَلَاحِ أَبَوَيْهِمَا وَقِيلَ كَانَ بَيْنُهُمَا وَبَيْنَ الْأَبِّ الصَّالِحِ سَبْعَةُ أَبَاءٍ. Subhanallah. Some said, and Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he quotes this, right? That this righteous man, that is now the reason as to why they are being protected, was a father from seven generations ago, because he's still referred to as a father. Because of his righteousness, Allah Azza wa Jalla, seven generations down the line, is protecting them. It's So you, my friend, who wants to get married, who wants to have children, the best thing that you can do for your children is to better yourself. Right? I'll tell you guys something that's also very, very touching. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, again, who was from the companions of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أنه كلما أراد أن يصلي قيام الليل نظر إلى ابنه. Every time he wanted to pray the night prayer, he would look at his child, he would look at his son. And he would say, إني أزيد في صلاتي ليصلحك الله وليحفظك الله عز وجل ثم يبكي وهو يتلو. Because the reason why I'm praying more and more is so that Allah Azza wa Jalla can rectify you and so that Allah Azza wa Jalla can protect you. And then he would cry while reciting, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous. This verse in Surah Al-Kahf. Right. Also, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه سمنا عندما كان يصلي الليلة وابنه الصغير نائم فينظر إليه. Whenever he wanted to pray the night prayer, his young child was sleeping. He would look at him and say, من أجلك يا بني, because of you I'm praying. وَيَتْلُو وَهُوَ يَبْكِي عِنْدَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And then he would cry, reciting the statement of Allah, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. So my brothers and my sisters, if you want, and this is a very common question that gets sent to me, if you want righteous children, here my brothers and my sisters are four Quranic advices. أَصْلِحْ نَفْسَكْ, rectify yourself. Because of this verse that I just quoted, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. You can't expect your child to become hafiz of the Quran while you're playing Netflix every day in your house. The children are going to go down the direction of their parents a lot of the time, right? كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلْ فِطْرَةِ. Every newborn, he's born upon the fitrah. But then look what the Messenger says. The parents, فَأَبَوَاهُ يَهُوِّدَانِ. They turn him into a Jew, or into a Christian, or يُنَصِّرَانِ, or يُمَجِّسَانِ, or they turn him into a Majusi. It's not just these three that the hadith is limited to. It could be that they become Netflixers. Because that's all they know. All they see their parents watching. Hollywood, Bollywood, Somaliwood. Huh? This is how the children are nurtured from a very young age. What do you expect him later on? Or someone who just cares about dunya. What do you expect from a child tomorrow? All he's going to look at is dunya. Sahih. Number two, ud'u lahum. Make dua for them. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. As mentioned in the Quran. Ya Allah, rectify my offspring. Also the other dua in Surah Al-Furqan. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Number three, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ فِيهِمْ. Pray in front of them, my brothers and my sisters. The hikmah, the wisdom behind why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَرْءِ فِي بَيْتِهِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. The best prayer, or the most virtuous prayer after the obligatory prayers, right, is the prayer that you pray at home. You know your sunnah prayers, my brothers and my sisters, after Isha, you're going to want to pray two raka'at, right? It's better to pray at home. From the reasonings behind it, that why the Messenger is the best to do it inside of your house, is that so your offspring can see it. Wallahi, kids as young as 1.5, they pray. Did you guys know that? Does anyone disagree here? Wallahi al-azim. 1.5 years of age they pray. 1.5 years of age they pray, brothers and sisters. Why? Because he watches his parents pray. They'll get the mat and they'll start making the, right? And they'll start doing the exact same actions. Also, kids as young as 1.5, they know how to go on Netflix and how to go on YouTube. Right? And they put on Umar and Hannah. Number four, استعد بالله من الشيطان أن يقترب منهم. Seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the accursed devil, that he goes anywhere near them. وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم. I only have 5 more minutes. And I've said this 3 times now. Number six, benefit number six, very, very quickly, my brothers and my sisters. تواضع الفاضل للتعلم من هو دونه. Who was more virtuous, Musa or Khadr? Musa, with Asharabda, who min Ulil Azm? Right? He's from the 5 great prophets of Allah. Right? And even then, he went to take knowledge from someone who's less virtuous from him. Humility, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter how old you become. Sometimes what happens, my brothers and my sisters, right? Actually, I'm going to mention this in the seventh point. But here, what we take is taking knowledge from someone who may be less than you. No matter how knowledgeable you become, you are always in need of taking knowledge. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, right? La yakunu ar-rajul 'alima. One will not become a scholar until he takes knowledge from mimman huwa duna aw mithla wa mithlu 'afwan wa fawqahu. Someone who's less than him, someone who's at the same stage, or someone that's what? Higher than him. These three people until you take knowledge from them. Number seven, my brothers and my sisters, it might well be that you are extremely knowledgeable in one sector. For example, you are very good in fiqh, but then you are not that knowledgeable when it comes to hadith. Sometimes what the shaitan says is, you've reached a rutbah, such a high status in something, how are you now going to go back to school? Right? Sitting so humbly. Shaitan, what pushes you away from that? And sometimes this happens, my brothers and my sisters, with individuals who are extremely well versed in their sector of engineering, for example, or he's a doctor, or he's a school teacher in mathematics, he's reached a very high level. And then he comes to know that he needs to seek beneficial knowledge in order to function. Right? That arrogance stops him from learning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal because of the level that he's reached in his profession. Number eight, my brothers and my sisters, التأدب مع المعلم وخطاب المتعلم إياه بألطف خطاب. The way you speak to your teacher. هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا? Is it possible that I can accompany you so that I can learn from that which Allah taught you? Sometimes we talk to people who have that which we are in need of as if we are deserving of what they possess. As if we have a right over that which we are asking from them. Seeking knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, is not like learning mathematics. You know, this whole academia. You walk into class and you talk to your teachers as if you have every right to know that which they possess. Walk in with arrogance and we walk out with pride. Right? Knowledge is very different. Right? Knowledge is very, very different. You have to be ready to smother yourself on the soil in order to get that knowledge. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى ذُلِّ التَّعَلُّمِ سَاعَةً تَجَرَّعَ كَأْسَ الْجَهْلِ طُولَ حَيَاتِهِ. If you're not patient with being humiliated, at times the teacher will humiliate you. You'll never be able to acquire that knowledge. You will have ignorance for the rest of your life. I'm nearly done, huh, Sheikh Hussein? Sometimes they walk around just to let you know that, you know. Number nine, my brothers and my sisters, the virtue of knowledge and traveling out to it. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, my brothers and my sisters, he was giving da'wah to Bani Israel, he had a huge responsibility. Having said that, he left them to go and seek more knowledge. Right? Of course, at times you may have responsibilities, your parents, and I'm not referring to that. Right? Sometimes what happens is, we learn a bit of knowledge, and the da'wah opens up to us, we have so many opportunities, forgetting that, akhi, you really are in need of knowledge. More and more. And the shaitan causes you to stay. Huh? So he left that behind in order to go and seek more knowledge. Number 10, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm done. Right? There is a type of knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, which you can acquire with your hard work, with the intelligence that you have. Right? All the work that you put in, reading books and whatever have you. However, there is a type of knowledge that is ladunni. Right? وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِن لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. There's a type of knowledge that can only be acquired from Allah Azza wa Jalla. No matter how much effort you put in, you will not be able to acquire the knowledge. You have to ask Allah to open these doors for you. No matter how much you try, you'll never be able to acquire it. Right? Go and take that directly from Allah. وَسَلْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ التَّوْفِيقَ فِيهَا وَأَخْلِصْ فِي السُّؤَالِ إِذَا سَأَلْتَ وَنَادِي إِذَا سَجَدْتَ لَوْ اِعْتِرَافًا بِمَا نَادَاهُ ذُو النُّورِ بْنُ مَتَّى وَلَازِمْ بَابَهُ قَرْعًا عَسَاهُ سَيَفْتَحُ بَابَهُ لَكِ الْقَرْعًا. Keep knocking on that door. Don't tell yourself, I can't do it. I can't memorize. I can't reach a good level when it comes to knowledge. Right? Keep knocking on the door. وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْضُورًا. The giving of your Lord is not restricted. Wallahi, drug dealers, you saw them in Al-Madina memorizing the Quran. They left that lifestyle and now they're what? Tullab al-ilm, seeking knowledge. People who used to carry knives, brothers and sisters, they used to rob people. Right? Or have the helicopters chasing them. Huh? Allah Azza wa Jalla opened doors for them. Right? There's other points that I've written down to conclude, my brothers and my sisters. Every single one of us here, we want Jannah. Isn't that so? Some of us may seek Jannah through fasting. Some of us may seek Jannah through praying. Some of us may seek Jannah through sadaqah. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علم سهل الله به طريق الجنة. Our objective is not to become scholars, it is to get to Al-Jannah. And here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever takes a path and seeks knowledge, Allah will make his path to Al-Jannah easier. A lot of the time, and this is a misconception, people think this hadith is speaking about that you have to pack your bags and you have to go to Yemen or to Medina or to Riyadh or whatever, or Egypt. No. Yes, of course, that's the best thing. But brothers and sisters, if you do a little bit every day, are you not seeking knowledge? You cannot function and navigate around fitna to shubuhat, fitna to shahwat, except through knowledge. Fitna of doubts that is shaking our iman to the core and the temptations that we have, my brothers and sisters. Right? I've been telling a lot of the different masajid. Huh? Okay, no problem. We don't want to seek knowledge. Should we be surprised tomorrow that Muhammad and Fatima and Abu Bakr, they're walking into the house and he's holding a Christmas tree. And then you as a father say to him, what are you doing? Goes, Dad, what? What's the issue? Just doesn't know. We are uneducated as a generation. What do we expect from them? Or when they come home? And he's saying, Dad, I don't know what my gender is anymore. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayru. I get parents messaging me all the time about this. Dad, I'm confused. Am I binary? Apparently you don't even need to have a gender anymore. Or the child comes home and wallahi, my friend told me this when I was sitting in his house in the month of Ramadan. His child comes home from RE class. Goes, Dad, today I learned that there are so many different gods. There's a lot of gods in it, Dad. Which one should we choose? My friend goes to me, this is what I've done on my head. And then you had to sit him down, you had to educate him. You had to talk to him. This happened in Ramadan, guys. Right? Which God shall I choose, Dad? And if you don't have the answers, who's going to answer their questions for them? And you know what happens sometimes? The father or the mother gets angry. Or says, my son's got a jinn, bring the raqi. No, he doesn't have a jinn. He just doesn't know. And he's asking these questions. Right? Think about that long term, especially you shabab, huh? Next generation is expected to be better or worse. Ask the Scotland Prime Minister. Huh? Who came out and said, oh, it's not a sin. We don't know, we'll probably just embrace that because he's a leader. I apologize, Ya Sheikhna Abul Hassan, because I went 5 minutes overboard and Sheikh Hussein, he gave me the heads up how many times. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless every single one of you guys. I apologize for really just going overboard. I really, you know, went over the time. May Allah bless you guys. I hope you guys noted down the 10 points, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah yabarakum. May Allah honor every single one of you guys. If Allah does not reunite us in this world, may Allah bring us together in the highest path of Jannah. Jazakumullah khair.